97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Well, I'm a little sad because Sue is off today, and she is the one who originally set us up with Steve Jervey, her friend who used to work here in St. Louis at KDNL, is down in Tampa, retired from WFLA. And Steve, at this point, I'm just going to let you take it because holy moly, this is a hell of a storm heading your way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. West coast of Florida, you know, we don't typically we get late season storms in October because the cold fronts that bring cool air to St. Louis get farther south, and basically when if a storm's in the Gulf or the Caribbean, it tends to nudge it toward the west coast of Florida, and that's what's happening now. This upper-level trough is pushing it toward the west coast, and those of us that live here, I live in the city of Tampa itself. I'm in a zone C. A and B have been ordered evacuations, and they'd be wise to go if worst-case scenario would work out. But we're really all kind of watching where the storm is actually going to make landfall. It's strengthened at 5 o'clock, 4 p.m. Central, from the National Hurricane Center. It's strengthened to 165-mile-per-hour winds, and it's on an east-to-northeasterly track. And if you watch a storm and you see how the track goes, they kind of wobble. They don't always just make a straight line. So that's what it's doing. It's wobbled a little bit. That slowed it down a bit. So that kind of extends the agony of waiting for when the storm will actually make landfall. But roughly Thursday, early in the morning, maybe 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, most of the computer models suggest that. So that's what we're looking at here. And with this storm, you're going to hear a lot about it. But because the storm has weakened and then strengthened, and likely thanks to those upper-level winds and that trough in the upper atmosphere that I mentioned, it'll probably weaken some more in terms of winds. Oh, it weakened to 100, and it's forecast to be 125-mile-per-hour winds at landfall. That sounds great, but the water that it's built up is already there.
Yeah.
That's not gone anyplace. So that's going to come ashore and be a massive storm surge problem for no matter where it's making landfall, south. Say it so it landfalls in St. Petersburg, for example. South of there would be horrible because it's just pushing that water into the bay. If it goes a little farther south into, say, Sarasota, you look at the city of Sarasota and point south of that because this counterclockwise rotation just shoves that water on the coast. And we're looking at 10 to 15 feet of water above the normal tide or sea level there.
So I've only been to Tampa one time a few years ago. My sister and brother-in-law have a condo that they have there because he does business down there. But I remember being like on that Riverwalk area, et cetera. So is that an area that would be the water will just rush into that? And we're talking about the seawall there growing, and that area would be flooded immensely, I'm guessing?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, that Riverwalk you were on with the last storm, Helene, didn't even make landfall, was underwater.
Okay.
So that Riverwalk that you were strolling around, which that's actually on the Hillsborough River. That's fresh water that flows into the bay, salt water. So that's that water gets
you.
Shoved up in and all the rivers that empty into Tampa Bay. The water just gets shoved back up into those rivers. So if you live along a river anywhere on the west coast and you're in the wrong spot, that water just gets pushed all the way up and you flood.
Are the differences in zones A, B, and C just simply based on how far you are away from the water?
Yes, and of course, it's very flat here in Florida, and virtually no elevation. A lot of people live 2, 3, 4, 5 feet above sea level.
Right.
They're on the water. So you just raise that water up 10 feet, and you've got water. And a lot of people, you've seen it on the news 2 weeks ago, got hit hard with Helene along coastal areas, probably the worst in 100 years. 1921 is the latest reference point for a storm. But the flooding we had with that is the worst I've seen on the West Coast in my short time here, relatively 26 years. But yeah, since 1921, and now we have another storm coming that could probably bring even worse storm surge, no matter where it like makes landfall, which we don't know yet.
You know, and one of the things that I heard, you can confirm this, but it's not out of the question that you have two major hurricanes in a season, but it's very rare to have it like almost back to back, right? Within 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I always say. You can live in a place in Florida and not have a hurricane for 100 years, or you can live in a place in Florida and have two major hurricanes in 1 year. You know, so that's just how the nature of it is here, where the upper level patterns are, the way water temperatures are in the Caribbean and the Gulf. Late season, and the season peaks about September 10th, late season October is typically historically when we've seen the worst storms in 1921, 1848, those were the late season storms because those cold fronts tend to shove those storms that develop in that warm water toward the West Coast.
You know, one of the things I said earlier, and I hope this is true, that I wonder if some of those people in zones A and B who might have been willing to sit this one or stay and not evacuate saw North Carolina, Steve, and said, we ain't taking a chance on this one because that devastation is just incredible. And I still don't think we've seen the depths of it.
No, we haven't. There's still, it's just incredible. I know we talked before that storm, but I had no idea of the amount of disaster that would occur with the flash flooding up in North Carolina. Just absolutely stunning. But they have the reference point just from 2 weeks ago, a lot of these same people. Their homes have been basically run over with water, and they've had to put all their belongings out by the street, and a lot of that hasn't been picked up. That's going to become debris, perhaps, in some areas that have already been flooded just 2 weeks ago. They've lost their belongings. They're basically the first level of their house was filled with water and has to be all redone with drywall. So it's going to take a long time to recover. And there's a lot of debris laying in the streets right now from the people who pulled out of their house. And that's going to be moving around in this fast moving water.
So if I'm a guy like you, or maybe if I'm not even a meteorologist, and this thing's going to make landfall at 2 a.m. in the morning on Thursday, I stay up to watch the coverage, right?
Yeah, I think many people will because of, you know, the uncertainty of it and the risk of it. A lot of people will not sleep until they lose power, perhaps.
Right.
But this is a very intense hurricane, and this is not, a Category 2. This is, I don't want to scare people, or I've seen enough of that on TV lately. But it is a Category 5 at this point. It will likely weaken thanks to those upper-level winds. But keep in mind, the water is already there. The gusts will be bad, yes, here locally where I live. But it's really going to be a water story, I think.
Yeah.
South of where that you'll see where that eye comes ashore, and south, that's where the water is going to pile up in already devastated areas. And that all went all the way down to Fort Myers Beach. They're forecasting 12 feet right now currently in Fort Myers Beach. So a lot of the West Coast will be affected.
Well, stay safe, Stephen. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I know Sue is disappointed that she missed you, but we will we'll talk maybe after all this. So I appreciate it.
All right, Mark.
Take care. That's Steve Jervey, former meteorologist here in St. Louis, but also at WFLA in Tampa. That is just unreal. You know, I've said this before, is we certainly have tornadoes and severe weather here in the Midwest, but we don't have mudslides. Sure, again, an earthquake, I guess, but not as prone to those, and we don't have hurricanes. So I will take our weather here in the Midwest. If we have to trade the heat and humidity for no hurricanes, I think that would be a good thing. This one looks just awful. And I do think it's relatively important that people paid attention to the coverage in North Carolina, and maybe we'll save some lives because they're going to get out in Florida. So we'll keep you posted on all that, and I'm sure we'll have Mr. Jervey back in due time as well. Coming up in the next hour, back to some politics, Charles Lipson, our good friend, Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago. He's going to weigh in on some of the presidential race and beyond. And then Chris Elston, he's known as Billboard Chris, who has addressed the issue of this nonsense gender-affirming care. Actually went before the United Nations and gave a speech a couple weeks ago. Chris is going to join us at 525.
Get more at 971talk.com.